During the Switch Pivot or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. If you're not already following Switch Pivot or Quit on Instagram, where we provide a regular dose of feel-good encouragement and inspiration, mainly on IG stories, so be sure to check that out. You might want to get down with us over at Switch Pivot or Quit on IG. And if you're already following and you're thinking, I don't regularly see posts from Switch Pivot or Quit, you know what you might want to do? I got a good insider tip. Turn on your post notifications. That means every time we post a new feel-good post, you will be notified and you will be the first to know. So that is my solution to all the Instagram algorithm problems. And also don't forget to head over to www.switchpivotorquit.com. On today's show, we're chatting with Lucinda Cross, who was most recently a competitor on the centric TV show Queen Boss, a show that we followed closely here on the podcast and even did weekly recaps for. In addition to her television appearances, Lucinda is a best-selling author, internationally known speaker, and energetic teacher of personal and professional development. She is also the creator of Active Worldwide, Inc., a leadership services firm that specializes in the delivery of personal and professional development enrichment programs. Welcome to the show, Lucinda.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're so excited to chat with you because, as I mentioned in your intro, many of us watched you compete on the centric television show Queen Boss, where you actually made it to the semifinals. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what was the overall experience like for you competing on Queen Boss?
It was interesting because I'm a person that is very sensitive, and I think most entrepreneurs are like this, sensitive about your product and your business. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was getting feedback and criticism about something that you feel extremely passionate about. The experience was amazing because I mean, me and some of the ladies, majority of the ladies there, we are still connected to this day. But it really challenged me in terms of, Lucinda, do you really believe in this thing? And if so, now is the time to show that you believe and willing to stand up for your product.
Right. Now, tell us briefly, for those who may be unfamiliar, tell us what your product was that you were pitching on Queen Boss.
The product is called the Activate Your Vision. It's an Activate Your Vision kit. It's an active to help you create your vision board, help you strategize and create goals and create a plan to accomplish those goals that you set forth. So it was a kit.
Right. Okay. Now, before the show, had you ever pitched your business to, like,
Never.
Anybody? Oh, no.
Never.
Really?
Never. That was the first time. So my whole ankles were swollen in those red bottoms because I was just out in nerves. Like, I could care less about the red bottoms getting to the pinky, but the nerves.
Right.
So that was my first time, and it was an experience. It was amazing. Like I said, it pushed me in areas that I did not want to be pushed.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's interesting that you say that, and I can appreciate that you say in areas that you did not want to be pushed, because so many people, they, especially after the fact, they act like, oh, it was a learning experience, and it pushed me. It was so great. But it's like, you know what? There were some areas I didn't even want to be pushed in, but I didn't have a choice. So I can appreciate that, absolutely. What was the casting process like for Queen Boss?
So, you know, not to brag, you know, but there was a casting process. I wasn't aware of that because the producers reached out to me. They've seen some stuff that I was mentioning on Instagram, and it goes to show you never know who's watching and when and for how long. Right. And so they were watching for months before they actually contacted me about the show. Wow. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
That was pretty cool. That was dope.
Yeah. And that's something that there's something to be said in that. Like you said, you never know who's watching, who's paying attention. So it's always best to put your best foot forward. And especially with social media, you know, we touch on that a lot around this area because so many people in their aspirations to do more see what other people are doing on social media now, and it gives them this idea of what maybe they should be or could be doing. But we talk about, I'm not shy about talking to people about paying attention that if you have a business, paying attention to how you represent yourself in your business, when you have a social media platform that maybe crosses over into both areas. Do you feel like, that portion was important and played a role in the sort of like concept and idea that they maybe created of who you were and who you might have been as a cast member to the show?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It did. It did play a big part. And so the brand that you see online is the same person that you'll see speaking and delivering a keynote to encourage and empower women. And so what I did appreciate is that BET Centric, they didn't change my character of who I was. I mean, they took a lot of funny parts out, but they didn't change who I was, and they really highlighted me and my brand the way that I wanted it to be highlighted.
Good. That's awesome. Because you never know. They definitely played up the fact that you wore the crown. They definitely played that up, I felt like. I was like, okay, they really try to make her seem like, you know, like she thinks she's a boss, you know?
Yes. And that's what made it stand out. I mean, they included just that, and this is what we have to do on social media and in person. It's all about the impression that you make on people. Mm-hmm. And so with that, if I did not do that, I probably wouldn't have been on the billboards and the promotions that they had in Times Square. I probably wouldn't have been on the promotion when they were airing the show. And my segment probably wouldn't have been the premiere that seen both on BET and Centric. You know, so for me, that crown coming out boldly, which many of us have to do. We have to do that. And I'm an introvert, so I like my little cubby. I don't like a little bit too much attention. So for me, I know with my brand, you know, like Beyonce, she has Sasha Fierce. So, you know, Sasha Fierce had to come out and so put the crown on and walk the walk.
That's the key right there. I hope you guys are paying attention to that, because when you're trying to brand yourself and do things different and make yourself stand out, it doesn't matter if we're talking about it in an entrepreneurial way or in the office, a corporate setting. You have to be bold at certain points. You have to time it and know when it can really work, but you have to step outside of that comfort zone and do something that's going to make you stand out. Because like you said, if you hadn't done something big like that, you would have blended in with all of the other contestants. Nobody would really know your name like that.
Exactly. And even still now, they may not remember some of the ladies that was on the show, but they do remember the woman who wore the crown.
There you go. Yep, exactly. Exactly. So how has being on the show, speaking of that, changed or maybe impacted your life or your business thus far?
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I've been a public speaker and a coach for years, for over 10 years. Stepping into the retail industry is a new baby for me. So for me, this was completely new. So as a result of being on the show, it pushed me to push my product out there to perfect the craft. And now we're on Walmart. You know, we're on Walmart. We have a deal with Walmart. And
Yay!
So that right here.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and it was from the work, and it was from the networking within the show, networking with another one of the contestants, actually the one who won as Queen Boss. We are very close, and so, you know, sharing my vision and my dream, you know, it pushed forward. And so, so now we're on Walmart. We're doing good and, you know, just looking forward to more, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, okay, so let's make sure that the listeners did not miss that. She said that her vision board boxes are now in Walmart, okay? Walmart, one of the largest retailers. You can find them in almost any city now, probably multiple Walmart. So that is huge. That is huge. Now, going into this Walmart situation, we have to dig into that a little bit more because I was going to ask you about that. I thought I heard that you were in Walmart. So what was that process like for you? Did you have to go in and pitch them? Did you have to meet with people multiple times? What was that like for you?
You know, I'm so vulnerable and open, right? And so the truth is, I don't have, and this is what I love about my entrepreneurial journey, I don't have the conventional way of getting in. It's always a fight, and I understand that. I have to fight for my spot. I have to fight for my position. I have to fight for my brand. Some people just get it, right? You're like, well, Lucinda, you were sitting next to Oprah. Why it didn't happen? Because it just didn't happen, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, with this opportunity, this wasn't a fight, but I had to push my pride to the side. So it was an introduction that was made. The person did not respond to the email or the introduction, and so instead of taking the non-response as a rejection, I set an alarm every Saturday morning. I'm going to email. Every Saturday morning, I'm going to send another email. Hey, how you doing? Hey, what's going on? Hey, did you check the email? Hey, what about this fabulous product? Well, one Saturday, after about five or six emails, the person said, listen, I'm sorry, I've never even seen any of the prior emails. I'm not normally in on the weekends. Don't check emails during the week like that come to this address. But today I actually came in and I seen your email this morning and I'm here to help you. Email this person. We're going to set you up with the process. Make sure you fill out all the proper documentation and we'll get you going. And that's how it started. But I had to be prepared. I had to have the proper documentation. I had to have the proper certification. I had to be willing to go through the struggle and the storm of filling in what I didn't have and pushing forward to learn along the way. I didn't have everything they needed, but I said yes with the intention of getting what they said that they needed so that I can get the process going.
Right. How long would you say the process took from when that person finally responded to getting it on store shelves?
2 months.
Oh, that's quick. Oh, well, you know what?
That's very quick.
I'm not surprised because it's Walmart. They don't play. Yeah.
Walmart is very quick.
Go ahead.
But they expect, what happens is when I was talking to the buyer, so they'll be on the shelves in June. It's online now. So we have a buyer, which is amazing. Everybody in retail, the object is to get somebody to send you. When you get your first purchase order, you're ready to pass out. So what my buyer told me is that people don't go to the next step. They get discouraged by what they don't have instead of what they do have and pushing that. And so because I just was diligent and kept and was persistent in moving forward, even when I didn't have certain things, it got me in the room.
Wow.
You have to be willing. You can't get in the room if you're not willing to just show up regardless.
Yeah. Like, I think that is huge because so many people, I was actually just complaining about this yesterday. I was to someone that I regularly talk to about business stuff. We always bounce ideas and everything. You know, you have your people. And I was like, you know what? Like, I feel like I should do a rant about people not responding to emails. Like, you are not that busy. Like, come on, you know, like the president. I mean, I'm talking about Barack. You know, if Barack can respond to people, if some of these major CEOs can respond to people, these little That's people right. can respond. That's right. You got time. You saw that email. I'm like, I'm That's over right. it. You know, but I know it's not just me. I know that there's so many people that say, oh, you know, I send a lot of emails without getting any response. And look, I get it. Sometimes these emails go into the abyss and people really actually don't see it. But mm-hmm. you know, when there's some people, you're like, you are not that busy. You saw that.
Right.
You just
right.
chose not to respond. So I can really, really appreciate you saying that despite the non-response, you kept emailing. Like, that is a lesson in itself. That I'm even taking something away from that. Like,
and it was frustrating. It's frustrating, but there's a fortune in your frustration. I had to get over myself. And mm-hmm. say, you know what, I'm going to look thirsty, I'm going to look hungry, mm-hmm. because this is what I desire. And mm. I'm going to, until you respond to me, the next step, he had two more times, the next step was emails, the next step, I'm sending all kinds, like, I'm going crazy because I know you are the contact person. And either give me a quick yes or a quick no, but I need to hear from, I need to know something.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, for me, I was hungry enough, like, enough already.
That's
and ask questions. A lot of people are afraid to ask questions. I told them, I said, listen, I don't know any of this language. You send it to me, I need a SPS and CPI and get this kind of insurance. I don't even know where to go.
Yeah.
So can you tell? Can we break this down, like, step by step? And she's like, so, you know, I wasn't trying to fake it till I need mm-hmm. to know, where do I get this from? How does mm-hmm. this work? Is this okay? You know, so I was a straight baby with it, and that was something else challenging. Sometimes we want to be a Miss Know-It-All and show up as I got it together. I said, I don't have nothing together. I don't nothing.
Mm-hmm. Treat show me like how I'm to a get complete it novice in this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I don't know anything but my name and my product. That's it.
Right. Now, what can we do? I love it. I love it. Absolutely. That is triumph at its finest there. Well, we're definitely going to be looking out for it. And remind us again, tell everybody so that they know what the name of the product is and when it will hit store shelves.
Absolutely. So the product is called the Activate Your Vision Board Kit. It's on Walmart. It's in Walmart right now online. You can get it. Activate Your Vision Board Kit. And it'll be on store shelves in June. By June 25th, it should be in the stores all over. But you can order it online for those who like to shop online, or you can get it from Amazon. It's the Activate Your Vision Board Kit as well.
That is fantastic. And now let's back up a little bit because this is all great and awesome, and I'm glad that people now know how much of a boss you really are, you know, with your business and with just going forward with things and triumph over, you know, all types of obstacles. But like I said, let's back up a bit, because for those who are unfamiliar with you, one of the most compelling elements to your story is that one bad decision landed you in federal prison for more than 4 years. But from then to now, you've been able to, like we've heard, inspire other women, impact youth, and build a business, really. So how would you describe that journey and sort of like the role that it played into making you the businesswoman and the person you are now?
Absolutely. So in prison, you either come out a better citizen or a better criminal, right? Mm. And so for me, I wanted the other side, and that's how the whole vision board process started. I was public speaking on the compounds in the prison camps. I was doing, you know, helping with vision boards there. So the thing that I'm doing now, I was doing back then. Just now, I just look a whole lot better, longer hair, not the orange suits and the gray sweats. But for me, I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit. I've always wanted to achieve certain success. I've always wanted to push myself and challenge myself to do what others would consider impossible or what hasn't been done. And this, you know, I'm the first entrepreneur, I would say, in my generation, in my family, outside of the ancestors. But for me, that whole process showed me that it is a fight. I'm not going to get anything easy, but I have to make better decisions. So the decisions that I made when I was younger landed me in time where I'm watching my peers graduate college, and I said, you know what, this is not going to work. So either I allow society to count me out, or I show them that I bring value to the table. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was – I was competing with myself.
Right.
Competing with myself. Lucinda, you are a great hustler. You are great at what you do. You can be the best of the best or the worst of the worst. Which one are you going to choose when you come home?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where this whole line, I went from transporting dope to transporting hope, came from. Because it's now I'm on a different mission. I'm on a different mindset. And it's rewarding and it's fulfilling. Right. And this is where I always wanted to be, but I just wanted to speed up the process back then.
Right. Right. You had a vision. You just didn't know how it was going to turn out.
Exactly. I wanted to travel, but I didn't, you know. I wanted to meet people, but, you know, I wanted to rub elbows with wealth, but not like that.
There's a lesson in that, too, in the space that we're operating in right now, because, like I said, so many people look at other people online and on social media. And before, you know, in the time period that you're talking about, we probably could only guess what other people were doing. We saw what people were doing locally that maybe we admired and wanted, but we couldn't see what people are doing from, you know, coast to coast, country to country, and how successful they appear to be. And I only say appear because some of it is real and some of it is faux. We know there are some fugazi people out there. We know
that's right.
We're just gonna own that happens. But with that, sometimes can come some bad decision making because you're so busy trying to chase what you think other people have and trying to get it fast that you mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how that can easily happen and people can fall victim to that now. So patience is just key because you don't want to rush something and end up in a situation that now you can't turn the clock back from that. You just got to deal, you know?
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to someone who's maybe made some unfavorable choices and they're trying to like start fresh or maybe turn a negative into a positive?
Use that as your secret sauce. You know, you have to, you know, use that as part of your strength, your reason why you don't have a choice to throw in the towel or you don't have a choice to give up. So for me, you know, what I would highly suggest is if you're truly frustrated enough with where you are, use that to make some changes. Use your past. Use those mistakes to say, you know what, this is it. I'm not going back to that anymore. That was a lesson and I have to use it because those are tools. Those are secret weapons. That's your secret sauce. That's what makes you different and you, and that's what will help you ultimately build the business and the lifestyle that you desire. And so that's my why. I was frustrated enough with being broke. I was frustrated enough with being in bondage and people telling me what I needed to do and couldn't do. I was frustrated enough with just getting by. And so I made those changes.
Mm-hmm.
I made those changes based on that frustration. I used the lack that I was living in as a way to say, nah, I don't want to taste that life anymore. I don't want to taste the land of not enough, just enough. What's living in more than enough like? And, you know, we just have to do it and stop worrying about the how. So, you know, just put yourself out there. Put yourself out there in such a big way and let it be known that you're the best at it. You're the best at bead making. You're the best at sewing skirts. You're the best at, you know, putting a weave on. I don't care. You're the best at doing lashes. You know, you're the queen brow lady. You know, we just got to own our greatness because especially if you made a mistake, for those of us who made mistakes that are just like, you have such a key power. To use.
So when you were like, okay, I'm released now, I'm free, you know, let me start anew, because I'm sure that your mindset was different when you walked out of that situation. What was your plan, or did you have a plan? Where did you think like, okay, I'm going to go get a regular job, or I'm going to be an entrepreneur? Like, what was your thought process at that point? Because I want people to sort of have a clear understanding of where you went from to how you got to where you are now, because people can look at you and say, oh, maybe she has something that I don't have that allowed her to make a change in her situation. So I want to understand sort of where your mindset was and what you were maybe thinking of or wanted to do, or your vision was for yourself when you walked away from that prison.
Absolutely. And for the record, I had nothing. I didn't have trust. I didn't have, my family was side-eyed because they wasn't sure. You know, just the word prison, you know, people were holding on to their purses. I was like, listen, boo, I wasn't even in there for taking purses. Like, that's not my thing. Like, I was getting money. Like, it wasn't.
Relax. It wasn't, you know, like, right.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, it's like people, is she going to hurt me? You know, is her sexuality question? So you have such, I had such a big, it was so many labels that people wanted to put on me, even from my own family. I had nothing. I had to create an identity of who I knew I was and had to show that and prove to myself that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my mindset was my vision. You know, I had a vision journal of what I wanted to do in becoming an entrepreneur, starting my own school that was different for people who didn't want to go the traditional route, but that didn't work out because as soon as I took my plans to my counselor when I came home, he said, oh, you can't do that because you have a record now. You have a felony. You're not able to do this because of this. And so each goal and dream and desire that I was focused on that kept me looking, seeking hope while I was inside was being crushed in one meeting within the first week of me being home in a halfway house. And I said, okay, now it's just, he's like, you might as well just get a job. You know, you can check out social services, get yourself some food stamps. You won't be able to get an apartment because they don't pay for incarcerated folks to get an apartment. So, you know, you can kind of just work your job, see if you can go find a family member you can live with. And, you know, so it was just basically hopeless. Advice and for me to give up because they were expecting me to go back to prison. Women are the highest rate of, you know, recidivism coming in and out of prison more than men.
Wow.
And so my dreams were crushed at that moment, and I went and, you know, got a job and started working that job, hiding who I was, hiding my background, you know, meeting my probation officer on my lunch break. He was very embarrassing, you know, meeting him in parking lots because, you know, going through that process. And so it was a journey, and then I said, I need to connect with a mentor. I need to connect with someone who can understand who, you know, and find some of the strengths that I do have, pull that out, and show me how to use them. And I did. I think my mentor speaking from a stage one day, and I said, he's it. He gets it. And from that point on, he gave me direction on what to do and how to do it. But, you know, when I came home, I started working, and then I opened up my first business with a partner, and I was great at writing, and we was writing business plans and marketing plans. And I went back to college. I said, I'm going to go back to college for my mom, you know, get this job, restore the trust. And I did that. I got my degree in business and marketing, started working my business part-time with a partner, started working full-time, and eventually just left everything. Once I linked up with my mentor, he just started putting things in alignment for me, and here we are today.
I love that you had a mentor, because that, I think, really helps to understand too how when someone is on one side giving you no hope, how you can counter that and find somebody on the other side to say, no, actually, I believe in you. Yes, you can do this, because you need that. You know, if you just have this one hopeless person in your life, and that whoever that is, you know, that doesn't have to be in the same situation as you, as like a probation officer or whatever. It could be like truly like your mom. You know what I mean? Is the hopeless person that's not giving you any uplifting type of or inspiring type of advice or direction or whatever. So I like that you found that counter person to sort of balance it all out. That, I think that's a key. If you guys don't take anything else away that you feel like you can apply to yourself, apply that. Like, you need somebody to balance out the negative in your life. For
that's
sure.
Right.
So, you know, you display such a positive and confident demeanor. Are there any tools that you use to keep yourself in like a good headspace?
Definitely. You know, prayer is key. I know, you know, it sounds cliche, but for me, it's the real deal.
Prayer
is key. And I, you know, it's an open conversation. I wait until, you know, the house is quiet or everybody's gone, and I just start walking the floor in my house, and I start declaring some things and having just a straight up conversation with God. And that's the thing that helps to keep me grounded. And also just staying in the moment. You know, I try my best although things, life is always calling your attention for different things, but I stay in the moment. So, you know, even with my husband, he walks through the door, it's all eyes on him. I'm attentive. I'm paying attention. I don't want to miss any love deposits he has to give to me, even in a conversation or a look or even just a sitting down watching TV. And the same thing with the kids. So I learned to be present in the moment around those that matter most for me. And that's something that helps to keep me grounded. And then I'm a journaler. You know, I write things down. You know, I have a whole list of prayers by the side of my bed that I write down. And so I journal a lot of things that I, you know, would love to just rant about online. You know, certain things that are not appropriate online. But I say, oh, my gosh, if I could just. I wanna, those are my things, and salsa dancing. You know, people forget to have fun. Yeah. I have incorporated fun in my life. I have to do something fun every month, at least twice a month. And so, salsa dancing is something that I took on, and it just allows me to just be free because I'm too lazy to go to a gym.
Just keep it real.
Salsa dancing allows me to move everything, feel sexy, shake it off, sweat it out, and, you know, that's my cardio workout right there. So
I
love having fun.
Right. And speaking of incorporating, like, monthly activities that are fun into your routine, do you have, like, a morning routine that you sort of have in place?
Yes, I do. So in the the night before, I always write, okay, what are the most important priorities that I need to take care of in the morning? And then I go through that list before, and that's the first thing I do. So in the morning, my morning routine, of course, is, you know, getting myself together, then prayer, and then I just start tackling my priority list. My income-producing tasks come first, and then the non-income-producing tasks come second.
I like that. I'm reading this book called Focal Point right now, and he's actually talking about that sort of like focusing on that. He doesn't call it income producing, but he definitely relates it to revenue and importance. So I like that you break it down like that. Absolutely important. So do you have any tips for, I mean, because obviously everything that we've talked about, you've definitely overcome some trying and challenging times as well as some major changes. Do you have any tips for navigating change in life, whether it be expected change or unexpected change?
Absolutely. The one thing, going back to when navigating with change, you have to team up with a mentor. You know, follow a tiger. Find a tiger that you can follow, because that will really support you in navigating change. They kind of help to chart the course for you, and it shortens your learning curve. If it wasn't for my mentor, I probably would have, I would have missed 10 years of information within that one year of working with him. He shortened my learning curve by 10 years. And so navigating through change, connect with somebody who is already doing what you desire to do, or they have done it already and they've done it successful. And they can kind of guide you. They're not in competition with you. When you start to succeed, they're not looking back at you like you owe them something, but find somebody who's not invested in your business financially looking for a return, but somebody who's invested in your future. And that'll support you in change. The other thing is to look at your circle. For me, I had to look at who I was around, who wasn't I appreciating. So I was appreciating all the wrong people and putting them in first class seats when I should have appreciated those that I put in coach in my life. And so I had to look at all of those who really supported me that I said, she's always there. You know, they're always so supportive. I appreciate them, but I had to switch the seats of those people in my life, and that also meant to put some people right in the baggage claim where they belong, because certain doors wasn't going to open for me because I didn't realize that I had terrorists on my own journey, you know, in my own plane. And so I had to let those people go, as bad as it hurt, and as long as those frenemy friendships were, I had to let it go because it wasn't going to support me moving forward. So look at your circle. The circle that you have now, is it supporting you in moving forward, or is it keeping you right where you are at? You know, and so I'm not the same girl who's on the project bench playing spades, so that means that I shouldn't be there right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so that means I'm not communicating, and it's not dissing anybody or playing. You know, it's, listen, I'll be back. Let me get to where I got to go first. You know, right. I need to get grounded first. And then, listen, we play spades on my mansion yard. You know, like,
hello.
How about
hello.
That?
Hello, yes.
So I had to look at my toxic relationships and say, Lucinda, you may be the toxic one because you're still here. You know, remove yourself so that they can possibly change and you can change. And the third thing that I would say is to really get clear on what it is that you want to do and work hard at that thing until it starts to grow legs. The shiny object syndrome is not going to work. And it doesn't mean that you have to drop all your other ideas and passions, but finish something. You know, I was a great starter and a horrible finisher. Finish something. Stop saying what you know, some of us are still repeating the same song from 2015. If you said you was going to write that book, write the book already. Like, nobody said it has to be a doctoral thesis. Put 100 pages together and then start book number two. Yeah. Like, I'm going to work on my clothing line. Well, work on your clothing line. Start sewing. What are you talking about it for? You know, what you waiting for fashion show for? Start your own fashion week. Start your own fashion show. You know, so we got to be willing to go hard for that one thing to see it to fruition and then make a big deal out of it. So the last point, the fourth point, is to celebrate those small successes and share them with the world. Stop sharing, you know, oh, I had this good cupcake from 125th Street. No, talk about the cupcakes you made that you selling on 125th Street. You know, we have these conversations that are not pushing us forward, online and off. Let's talk more action. Let's talk more action. And that's the life that I live and encourage everyone who's listening today to live as well. Let's talk more action. I don't have time to play. Not when I have children to raise and a life that I desire to live. And I don't want to look at everybody else's life and see how they flying in private jets. How am I going to get one?
There you go. Yep. You said it perfectly. I love that. So you talked about your circle and things like that. And at Life According to Her, we definitely feel like women supporting women, that's a part of our mission and our base. So why do you think that women supporting women is important?
Because we're a reflection of each other. Mm. We're a reflection of each other. Your success is my success. If I try to shut you down, then I'm shutting myself down. And we have to support one another because we each have a story. We don't necessarily know what each other's stories are or how our purpose is connected to somebody else. But we have to see it as if I support her, she may be changing the lives of some girls who's about to get on the stripper pole next week. You know, she may be changing lives of some mothers who may be getting ready to abuse their children or use drugs. You know, so I truly believe that and I love supporting women because we're all connected to a portion of the world. God gave each of us a portion of the world to change. So if I stop you, I may be preventing you from sharing and stopping somebody from catching HIV. I may be preventing you from stopping somebody from slitting their wrist or getting out of that bad relationship. So let me help you do more of what you're called to do so that you can do what you need to do. You can't. Authenticity has no competition. You're not going to compete with me. That's like competing with God. How you going to do that? Like, he created something so dope in me that is just hot. Recognize your dopeness, and we both could celebrate at the table. But it's key, and we need more, not just cheerleaders, but check cutters too. You know, how can I sew into what you got going on? You know, not just, you know, some people say, you know, I got this before. You know, well, Lucinda, you're not supporting me because you didn't share my post. Really? I need to share your post to support you? No. Tell me what you really need. Sharing a post ain't going to do nothing. You need me to buy 5 tickets to get 5 butts in the seats? Now we're talking.
Right.
You know, don't come to me with the minor stuff when the major stuff is, you know, how can, you know, you want me to review your sponsorship deck? Do you want me to make an introduction to somebody that I do know who can get, you know, you want this speaker? Maybe I know them, so they ain't going to charge you if I tell them, you know, if I could get you the girlfriend special, but you asking me about a tweet? Oh, wow. Okay, so we're lost.
It's about thinking bigger, like, and that's I have these conversations all the time because sometimes we're conditioned almost to think small, but you got to think bigger. It's like, what's past that? What's the next step? Like you said, like what's bigger than a social media post? What's bigger than, you know, like whatever it is that you're thinking mm-hmm. small about, like what's next? What's really going to move the needle? That's what we need to be thinking about.
So, and don't be afraid to ask and give a resource. We can't sit there and think that if I give her the resource, she may be more successful than me. She'll make this better connection. That's just crazy. We serve a God of limitless resources and ideas. Hmm. And so, you know, what is it going to stop me from succeeding if I give you my contact? Hmm. Come on. Or if I send you the link to get money? Like, you know, what is that? Like, who does that?
Yeah.
How am I supposed? Eagles don't do that.
Right. Yep. That's true.
Vultures do. Eagles don't do that.
Very, very true. That's a good point. So you rub elbows with a ton of wonderful women all the time. Do you have any tips for relationship building?
Oh my gosh. going into the relationship with no agenda.
Mm-hmm.
That's key, you know, just going into the relationship with really no agenda and allowing things to manifest organically.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, one sister that I love. And I mean, we just talked earlier today, Tiffany, the Budgetista, she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have talked to each other in mastermind when we were on the come up. Just sharing ideas of where we are now. And so, but our relationship is organic, you know, it's very organic and there's no agenda. She's my friend. I want to see her grow. I want to see her reach her peaks and I want to support her through her valleys.
Right.
So, you know, it's taking the relationship beyond the surface level of, you know, maybe an email or a phone call, you know, do that often. Send an email just because it's Monday, not just because you have an event coming up. Send a text, not just because it's Thanksgiving, but send it, you know, in the beginning of November and instead of the end when everybody else is. I do things that's off the grid, you know, and just communicating. I communicate very often. I say, you know what, thank you so much for booking me in 2013 for that event. You know, I appreciate it, and I see you growing. You know, so it's just with relationships, celebrating each other with no agenda.
No agenda. I like that. Because so many people talk about, like, networking and how to network and what to do and what not to do, but I like that, just going into things with no agenda, with building a relationship, because then it's organic. It's just natural. Whatever happens, happens. So, yeah, I like that. What does, as we were talking about success in the private planes and not watching other people in their planes, but trying to figure out how you're going to get your own. So what does success mean or look like for you?
For me, it looks like having several halfway houses created for women who have gone through similar situations like myself, nonviolent crimes, made a mistake, to be able to get the rehabilitation, to become successes on their own, in their own journey and in their own right, while I'm in Hawaii with my husband and the kids are off to college. And the bank account is growing, and we're supporting these women within their schools and their families. So that's what we're working towards now, is opening up these halfway houses in the States and creating a place for that can help cultivate these women who society counts out.
That's amazing right there. Like, I can't wait to see that come to fruition. And I'm always here. So if you need anything, you know, I definitely love that purpose, that mission, all of it. So yes,
thank you
for that. What's one thing that lets you know that you're living life on your terms, you're living a life according to her?
Because I wake up with a smile on my face. Not every day is like Mickey Mouse lollipops and gumdrops, but I wake up like, whew, today is another day to do what I love.
Oh.
And I know what it's like waking up trying to figure out how I can speed the day up. It saddens me when the time gets cut short. Before, I would be like, oh, my gosh, can't it be lunchtime already? Lord, it's not time for me to get off of work yet.
Yeah.
You know, so now, you know, I have a love affair with time because I respect what you know, the opportunities that come hour after hour, minute after minute. So I truly do wake up like, okay, another day, let's get it. You know, how can I, you know, it's like Pinky in the Brain. How can I take over the world today?
Yes.
So for me, that smile on my face is letting me know that I'm still doing what I'm called to do.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for spending your time with us and allowing us into your world and just dropping so much like quality knowledge and information on us. This has been an amazing conversation, super inspiring for me as well. But let everybody know where they can keep up with you, can check you out, and just kind of stay connected with you.
Absolutely. Yes. So I say I'm Google-licious. So you can Google and really connect with me on all areas. I love Instagram. So connect with me, Lucinda Cross. You'll see it says Lucinda Cross, O-T-T, my married name. But you can go to lucindacross.com. LucindaCross.com, LucindaCross.com, and let's get connected. And I would love to hear from you and what their journey is about.
Yeah.
And if I could be of support, I'm there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lucinda. And
thank you. You're so dope.
Oh, thank you. As always, you guys, keep killing it.